Psalm 27. This is clearly when David is surrounded by his enemies. He talks about verse 6 that his enemies are all around him and he's on the run. I would assume this is at the time of Saul. He may have rewritten it under inspiration and applied it to the time of Absalom. But all the time, the worst thing for him about being on the run from his enemies is that he can't get to the tabernacle. He really is upset about this. He wishes desperately that he could be there. He says, verse 7, "Have mercy on me and answer me." Verse 8 in the Good News Bible, "When you said, 'Come worship me,' I answered, 'I will come, Lord.'" In other words, he feels that worship has got to be there at the tabernacle. And he says, verse 6, "When you give me victory against my enemies, I will offer sacrifices of joy. In his tent I will sing praises to Yahweh." So he imagines himself as being able to go to the tabernacle, which was, of course, a tent before the temple was built, and to offer sacrifices and to sing songs of praise to Yahweh there in the tabernacle. Verse 4, "One thing I have asked of Yahweh, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to see Yahweh's beauty and to inquire in his temple or in his sanctuary." So this was what he wanted. The one thing he says he wants more than anything else, more than victory over his enemies, is to be able to be back in the tabernacle, in the sanctuary. And you see this in a lot of his psalms. And yet, he says that where he is, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. And maybe he's alluding to the light of the Shekinah glory that was over the ark in the sanctuary. And he feels that he is, in fact, anyway, in the tabernacle. Verse 5, "In the day of trouble, he keeps me secretly in his pavilion. Under the shadow of his tabernacle, he hides me." So he wants to get back to the tabernacle, but he feels that in a sense he is there anyway, and that God is over him all the time, and in fact he is living there in the tabernacle in spirit all the time. So this is similar to what he says elsewhere in the Psalms when in similar situations he says that he is living under the shadow of your wings. And he's alluding to the wings of the cherubim that were over the ark in the most holy place. It's as if he feels he's actually living on the lid of the ark with the blood of atonement thrown there once a year and where only the high priest could enter once a year. And he feels that that's where he lives. Right there on the lid of the ark with the cherubim wings of glory over him. And he lives under the shadow of God's wings. And of course, Paul has a lot to say about that lid of the ark. He calls it the mercy seat, and he sees in it quite clearly a representation of the work of the Lord Jesus. So, yeah, David wants to be in the sanctuary, and yet he realizes that he is, in fact, all the time living under the shadow of God's tent. And yet he wants to be in the physical tabernacle. So you see how God was working with him. He was cast out of the standard religious system. He couldn't safely go to the sanctuary because Saul or Absalom or whoever were going to kill him if he went anywhere near. He was on the run all the time. But he finds the very presence of God far away from that tabernacle. So this is, I think, something that is going to happen in the lives of nearly all believers, that you will go through a period of your life when you are away from standard religious structures. Could be because you're relocated with your employment. It could be that the church you've been going to folds up. It divides, finishes, or the folks just die out. Or it could be that you're disfellowshipped for some wrong reason and chucked out, or maybe your wife or your husband is, and, well, you end up out of it. Or it could be that you have a stroke and you can't get out anymore and nobody bothers coming to visit you. It could be any number of reasons that occur. And these things are all used by God to lead you to intimacy with him. This is what David experienced. And I'm not against church life or whatever. And yet, you've got to be careful, because if you're really caught up in the rhythm of going out to meetings 2-3 times a week, etc., you can easily perceive that that is my religion, that is my spirituality. Whereas the real spirituality is when you kneel by your bedside, by the sofa in the living room when the kids have all gone to bed, or whatever it might be, and pour your heart out to God. And you feel his presence there as you rise from your knees. It is when you are sitting on a bus, reading or listening to God's word from your cell phone, and wow, something strikes you. And you feel that presence of God, and you know that presence of God, and you lift your eyes up to heaven and almost laugh and smile at God's love and grace and special care for you. That's the stuff of real moment-by-moment spirituality. Any attendance of meetings, or in David's case, going to the sanctuary, was just the icing on the cake. That's all that is. It's icing on the cake. And unless you realize that, well, you're going to, I'm afraid, be just a religious person rather than a spiritual person. And unfortunately, you see it happen that for some folks, when the religious aspect of their life comes to an end, for whatever reason, that's some of the reasons I just mentioned, well, they basically lose what faith in God they ever had, because they didn't separate church from God. They didn't separate religion from spirituality. The essence of relationship with God is moment by moment living with him.